There is something very traditional about this year, and I'm very, very much in favor of keeping with tradition. There may be only a passing reference to Parshat HaShavua, which is Parshat Noach, but the shiur that's scheduled for this morning, as for, must be about 15 years now, that one of the Shabbosos after Sukkot, I say the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, and one of the Shabbosos after Pesach, I say the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, so that we can record it for posterity, and you know, there may be, who knows how many people that will want to listen to this. But I said there will be a passing reference to Noah, to my very passing. I'm beginning to have all sorts of other ideas. Let's stick with it. The story is told of one of the Hasidic greats, Reb Zisha of Anipoli. Reb Zisha was sitting at Shavuot Shudas on Shavuot Shuvah as the day was ebbing away, and he was talking with his Hasidim about the importance and the significance of doing tshuva. Of course, the Chassidim said, Rebbe, it's a difficult, difficult thing to do tshuva. Very difficult. Reb Zisha says, listen, in Shmoneh Esrei, we ask for refuah shlema, complete healing. We ask for geula shlema, complete reduction, redemption. And a bracha right near there says, Ashivenu, bring us back to you, tshuva shlema. Just like we want refuah shlema, and we want geula shlema, it's our responsibility to try and do tshuva shlema. So he said, but then it's difficult. So the Rebbe said, you can do tshuva b'roshei tevos. With letters you can do tshuva. Rebbe, what do you mean with letters you can do tshuva? So he told them, take a look at the word tshuva. And there you have it. The top of tshuva stands for tomim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha. Pasuk in Torah that says man should be wholehearted, complete, and full with God his God. There, of course, will come our connection to Parshat Noach. What's the first pasuk in Noach? Eileh told us Noach. These are the generations of Noach. Noach was ish tzadik tamim hayah b'dorokav. Noach is tamim. And we're going to find out what the meaning of tamim is. So Reb Zisha said, Tov of tshuva stands for tamim tiyam Hashem alakecha. The shin of tshuva stands for shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamim. I place God before me constantly. Vav stands for vahavta l'reacha kamocha, love your friend like yourself. The bet, a pasuk in Mishlei, Bechol derachecha da'edu, in all of your ways, know God. Vehei, hikon likrat elokecha Yisrael. Pasuk in Tanakh, hikon likrat, prepare yourselves, O Israel, before your God. As I read the story, there's an idea that occurred to me, I don't know, maybe not occurred, like I just felt that I was being overwhelmed with this idea. And I thought about it for a few hours, and it worked. It worked. There may be even more than a kernel of truth in what I'm going to say. This is something that Reb Zisha didn't say at all. Reb Zisha was just talking about the significance of each one of these ideas. Each one of these ideas, when you put them all together, we have constructed a religious personality who is a member of a faith community. God is before me constantly in all of my ways. I am to know him. Love your friend like yourself. Be complete and full. Prepare yourself for God. I mean, all these are ideas. You put them all together, these are the building blocks of the perfect religious personality. But it occurred to me that these five psukim, these five steps, may very well describe the five periods in time, beginning with the month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, and Shmini Atzeres. And I'm going to describe and define exactly how I see it. What's the meaning of Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha? What is Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha? So I have there the words of the Ramban. Tomim Tihye Hashem Elokecha is a pasuk in Sefer Devarim. Tomim Tihye Elokecha. The Ramban, Nachmanides, holds that this is a positive commandment. The Ramban, well, let's say the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam does not count Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha, be wholehearted with God with God. The Rambam does not count it as a mitzvah, as say a positive commandment. The Rambam sees Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha as an overall description of the totality of the Jew, but it does not require of him anything specific. And according to the Rambam, for something to be counted as a mitzvah, there must be something very, very specific about it. If it's just one of these general psukim that says, keep my statutes and my mitzvah, that's not counted a mitzvah. The Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. And he says, Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha does call for a specific act. And he says, Shenitzavenu, that we've been commanded, Liyot Libeinu Tamim Imo Yit'aleh, that our hearts should be full and complete with him. V'hu Shenema, Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha. V'inyan HaTzavo HaZot, what's the meaning of this command? Sheniyached L'vavenu Elov L'vado, that we look, our hearts look toward God alone. There is no one else who can come to our aid or our assistance. There is nobody else who knows what the future holds. There's nobody else whose relationship truly, truly counts on a spiritual level. V'shenami shehu levado oseh kol, we should believe that he alone does everything. V'hu hayodeya amita kol atid, he is the only one who knows the truth of whatever will be in the future. If we want to know, at a period of time when there were prophets in Israel, if we wanted to know what is going to be in the future, we would go to his prophets, from his prophets and his pious ones. We don't ask the astrologers, we don't look at all of the nonsense that passes for knowledge of the future in the world. We don't believe that the words of the astrologer will come true. It doesn't really matter whether you're a Libra or a Pisces or whatever it is. Avonoma, you know what we should say? Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything in the hands of heaven. Because God is the only one who has his ability to change, to dramatically change the all of nature. Mayfair also zbadim the kosrim in Yeholel, he makes fools of the magicians and those who use crystal balls to tell us the future. So there's something very specific about Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha. Tomim Tihye Im Hashem Elokecha is now a description of a relationship. We believe that everything comes from him. He is the one who holds the future in his hands, our future. He holds all of that in his hand. He is the only one who is able to determine and change dramatically whatever it is that is there in nature. The Namin, the Ramban goes on to say that we believe Shekol HaBa'ot Tihyena Eleinu Kifid Karveinu La'avodato. Anything that's going to happen to us is in direct relationship to the extent to which we are close to him. as Yirmiyahu said, El derech ha'goyim al tilamei tilmedu, don't learn the ways of the goyim. Umei odot ha'shamayim al teichotu, don't be broken by the signs and omens that come from the heavens. Ki yeichatu ha'goyim, men of the goyim are broken by this. And then the last one, he brings the Sifri. Imasita kol ha'om v'inyan, harei atotom la'shem l'kecho. Tonim tia ma'shem l'kecho, kshatotom, chelkecho ma'shem l'kecho. Your portion is with God, your God said. So we're talking about a relationship of trust, absolute trust, of faith. A relationship of dependence, a relationship that our whole future depends on Him. Let me ask you, is that not the mood of the month of Elul? Isn't that what we're supposed to think and feel during the month of Elul? That our relationship is the closest with Him? Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. That's Elul. Ani, I am to my beloved, and by my beloved is to me. Everything that's going to happen to me depends upon you. That's why I turn to you before the Yom HaDin, before the Day of Judgment is going to come. In the month of Elul, we have to develop a relationship that can best be described by Tomim Tia Mashal Lekecha. Now, Tomim Tia Mashal Lekecha, you know, unfortunately in Yiddish there's the word, you know, erzatomim, sort of a denigration of a person, he's naive. That's not at all what tamim means any place in Tanakh. But Noach, it says, Ish tzadik tamim haya b'dorotav. What is the Rebbeinu going to say to Avram at the end of Parshat Lech Lecha? Hithalech lefanai, walk before me, v'heye tamim. What's the description of Yaakov? I mean, Yaakov is Ish Tam Yosef of Olin. We're talking about people who have a relationship of fullness, complete dependence. I know that whatever is going to happen depends on you and the extent to which I'm close to you. That's precisely the mood that one is supposed to develop during the month of Elul. If I know that everything that depends on Him, then therefore I'm going to do tshuva so that I can stand before Him on Rosh Hashanah and be judged for good. Interesting, as I said, the Rambam says that Tomim Tia Ma'ashem Alekecha is not a specific mitzvah, but rather it represents the totality of all of Torah. All of Torah is supposed to make a person into one whose relationship with God is complete and full. The Malbim says that the Rambam learns the pasuk differently than the Rambam does. The Rambam learns it as an imperative, a mitzvah, a command. Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha. Read it in one breath. Tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha. The Malbim says that the Rambam, who does not see it as an imperative, it reads the pasuk with a little difference. Tomim tia, you should be full in your relationship with God. And if you will be in tomim tia, then you know where you're going to be. Tia im Hashem Elokecha. You're going to be close to God, your God. Not that it's an imperative, a mitzvah, but the pasuk is telling you, if you're going to be tamim, then you should know your place is going to be im Hashem Elokecha, with God your God. That's the month of Elul. Then we come to the next pasuk in Reb Zisha's acronym of tshuva. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. Oh, when I came to this one, the ideas started rushing. Oh, did they start rushing? Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid is going to be such a powerful description of the mood of what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And what am I going to use in order to describe this to you? We're going to learn the first sif in Shulchan Aruch Arachayim. First halacha. din hashkamas haboker, the laws of getting up in the morning. Yidgaber kari lamod boker, man should be strong like a lion to get up in the morning. Lavodav boro, to do the service of his creator. Shiehi humo re hashaka, he should wake up the morning. Not the morning wake him up. He should wake up the morning. I like to watch the sun rise over the Har Yehuda. I like to watch the sun set over the Har Yehuda. And from my living room, I can watch both of them. It's unbelievably beautiful. I've told them the past, I asked my people in Chutz, my friends in Chutz Arts, what do they see when they look out of their living room and don't? They see the house across the street. Only, but the extent that the ability, we have the ability to see much further. You look out of a living room window, you see the rolling green hills and whispering brooks of Har Yehuda. Sorry, you're supposed to wake up the morning, not the morning wake you up. Now watch. These are the words of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch. Then comes Rav Moh, Rav Meshe Yisraelish, who adds his comments. Baruch Kol Panim, he says, you know, he realizes that not everybody is going to wake up in the morning. So he says, at least, lo ya'acher zman atfil, a person shouldn't miss the time for davening. Shat zivu mit palunim, when the community davens. Now, begins the great comment of the Ramah, and in part it's taken from the Rambam in the Moran. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. This is the pasuk in Tehillim we're talking about. I place God before me constantly. Hu klal gadol b'Torah. That pasuk is a great rule in Torah. Ubemaalot hatzadikim, and in the levels that the righteous achieve. Asher holchim lefnei olakim, those righteous who go before God. And watch the description of what is implied and what is said by Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. He says the way in which a man conducts himself, how he speaks and what he does when he's at home with the people of his house, is far, far different than the way in which he's going to conduct himself when he's in the presence of a king. Ki ein yeshivat ha'adam u'tuotav. The way a man sits and the way he moves, va'asokov, and the things he does, they are different when hu levato beito, when he's alone in his house. Ki yeshivato u'tuotav va'asokov, like his sitting or moving and involvements, v'hu lefnei melech gadol, when you're before a great king, or you conduct yourself in a completely different way. And he doesn't speak and open up his mouth wide as he chooses. When he is with the people of his house and those who are as close to him. It's not the same as he would speak when he is in the presence of a king. Certainly, when a man is going to concentrate on the fact that the great king, the Holy One, blessed be he, whose dignity and honor fills the whole world, he's standing over him and he's watching what he's doing. As it says, can a man hide himself any place and I don't see him? Of course I see him. When a person ponders and thinks about that, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, I place God before me constantly. Miyad Yagia Elav Hayira V'Hachno V'Pachad Hashem Yidbara U'Boshto Mimenu Tamid. Immediately, what will come upon him is fear and a humility and nearly a terror of Hashem Yidbara, and that he will be embarrassed before him constantly. All right. Let me ask you, how is a person supposed to see himself on Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah? What's the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah? Malchiyot! Malchiyot! This is the day on which we crown God as King of the world. How does he become crowned as King? Because on that day, man was created. The wise men say, Ein Melech Belo Am, there is no king without a people. It's on the day of creation, Rosh Hashanah, the creation of man, that God becomes king. All the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah are all about Malchus Shamayim. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Maaseh Elokeinu, Melech Olamim. Chassidim called the night of Rosh Hashanah Leil HaHachtara, the night of the coronation. You know what the whole mood of Rosh Hashanah? The whole mood of Rosh Hashanah is Shivisi Hashem L'Nevdi Tomin, as the Chamam says in the Moran Aruchim that's quoted here by the Ramah. I see myself standing before Melech Gadol, the great king. That's what it's all about. Interestingly enough, the last sentence at the end of Shulchan Aruch, Orachayim, if you want a little balance, the last sentence, the Ramah says, it's at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Tov Lev Mishte Tomid. He brings a pasuk in Mishlei, a person whose heart is good, life is always a party. You know what's happening over here? He is balancing out the Tomid at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch Orachayim and the Tomid at the end of Shulchan Aruch Orachayim. Life is supposed to be happy. Torah never called upon man to walk around on the face of this earth in a constant state of fear and depression. We're supposed to be happy. But the real road to happiness is between the first Tomid at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shiviti Hashem L'Negdi Tomid, and all of the halachos of Shulchan Aruch Orachayim until you come to Tov Lev Mishte Tomid. Chanukah and Purim, the end of Shulchan Aruch. But I there's something else that occurred to me, even more than the Shiviti Hashem L'Negdi Tomid, which presents for us the picture of the great king standing here, which is Rosh Hashanah. How do we know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? How do we know it's the day on which God judges the Jewish people? Doesn't say it in Torah. Doesn't say it in Torah. All that we know from Torah is that Rosh Hashanah is on the first day of the seventh month, which is the month of Tishrei. We also know that it's Yom Teruah, a day of sounding the shofar. How do we know it's a Yom HaDin? Of all the fascinating things, the Gemara says, do you know how we know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? We learn it from God's relationship to Eretz Yisrael. Look at that pasuk. This is a pasuk in Parashat Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu was describing Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people, and he says, Eretz Hashem Elokecha Dovesh Ota. This is a land that God is involved in. Tomid. That word, Tomid. Constantly. Eine Hashem Elokecha, for the eyes of God are in her. Meireshit Hashona Vad Acharit Hashona. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And the Gemara says, Meireshit Hashona, from the beginning of the year. Nidon. Judgment is given what will be throughout the whole year until the end of the year. Do you understand the idea that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin and God is intimately involved with every human being on the face of this earth and all of the nations of the world? We learn from the way in which God relates to Eretz Yisrael constantly. It's unbelievable, pasuk. Hashem tomid eni Hashem l'kadavu, constantly. Do you see what I'm doing now? Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tomid. When is that tomid? The tomid of Rosh Hashanah. Gemara goes on further to say, do you see how Meireshit is spelled? Meireshit Hashanah Vad Acharit Hashanah? There's an aleph missing over there. If you take the letters Reshit, do you know what they are? Tishrei.
Oh, yeah.
From Tishrei, from the beginning of the year in Tishrei, judgment. takes place by what will happen at the end of the year. So therefore, I don't think I'm at all far off base when I say that the second pasuk in the acronym of Rav Zisha Me'ani Poli, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, is that a description of Rosh Hashanah? It's a description of how we're supposed to see God as King of the world. It is a description of that God who is going to judge us on that day. From that pasuk, may Tishrei, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Alright? I think so far we're doing okay. And we're not forcing anything. It's pretty clear that Shivisi Hashem Adani Tamid is indeed a description of the whole attitude, the whole atmosphere, the whole Ashkafa of Rosh Hashanah. Just as Tamim Tia Yom HaShem Elokecha represents and describes the relationship that we are supposed to develop with God during the month of Elul. V'yahavta le'echo kamocha, the third. V'yahavta le'echo kamocha. I say that this is Yom Kippur. You may even say that it's part of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. What is it that leads me to believe that Yom Kippur is a day of v'yahavta le'echo kamocha? So I'm going to show you a fascinating halacha in Shulchan Aruch or Chayim. You see, Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, Simin Tav Reish Vav. Simin Tav Reish Vav says to you, Yifai Yisodim Chavedu, Be'erev Yom HaKippurim, a person is supposed to ask for forgiveness from a fellow Jew whom he has hurt in any way. Be'erev Yom Kippur. I'm going to get back in a moment to why doesn't this sif in Shulchan Aruch, this whole sin in Shulchan Aruch, why doesn't it appear before Rosh Hashanah? Why shouldn't we prepare ourselves fully for the day of great judgment and then before Rosh Hashanah ask people for forgiveness? No, the Shulchan Aruch puts it by Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur. And the Shulchan Aruch says, Avedot shebein adam l'chavedo, sins between man and his friend, ein Yom HaKippur v'chaper, ad sheyifayseh. Yom Kippur is not a day of atonement until he's going to ask forgiveness. V'atim lo hiknito el medvarim. If all that one did was he hurt somebody with words. I mean, halacha does not see that sticks and stones will break my bones, but names or words will never harm me. You know, you hurt people with words, and sometimes the hurt of words can last for a lifetime. You get a bruise, the bruise heals. But it was a schlecht word that somebody got. How can that go with you for a whole lifetime? So you have a responsibility to ask for forgiveness. And if a person doesn't say he forgives at first, you have to go back to him three times, you have to take three people with you. It has to be an effort. It's not like the kind of perfunctory thing that, no. Sometimes you have to tell somebody, no. As a matter of fact, I'm not Mechulia. Not everything is just so easy. You went ahead, you caused me terrible pain, I'm upset for weeks now, and you think that it's all over because you come over and say, forgive me. Why before Yom Kippur? Why before Yom Kippur? So first of all, some years ago we talked about a different question, and that is, for every mitzvah, there's usually one yontif. Matzahs we eat on Pesach. Chanukah candles only on Chanukah, no other time. Read the Megillas Esther on Purim. Sukkah, you live in a Sukkah, only on Sukkahs. One yonder, each mitzvah. Here we have the unusual phenomenon of a mitzvah of tshuva, and you have two Yom Tovim. You have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why do you need two Yom Tovim for the same, fulfill the same mitzvah? One Rosh Hashanah or one Yom Kippur wouldn't be enough. What do we need them both for? So it said once that the Aseret Yemei Tshuva may very well correspond very nicely to another 10 that said it had deployed the 10 commandments. And I'll show you how. The first 5 of the 10 commandments are those commandments being odom between man and makom and God. The last 5 are being odom lechavero, between man and fellow man. Shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. Historically, we talked about it before, but what existed on the first day of creation, the first Rosh Hashanah? What existed in the world? You know what existed in the world? Adam and Makom. Man and God. That was the first Rosh Hashanah in history. So Rosh Hashanah, therefore, is the day for tshuva, to mend the relationship between Adam and Makom. Yom Kippur already is the second half of the Aseret HaDibrot, the second half of the Ten Commandments. After one has rebuilt, restructured, repaired, refurbished the relationship with God, God tells him, but atonement, full atonement you're not going to have until you repair the relationship with your fellow man. And that's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur, I assume we're supposed to be like Malachim and Yom Kippur. I don't think Malachim start up with other Malachim. Understand? They act nicely. If you listen to what we say in davening about the Sratim and the Chayot HaKodesh, all of them standing there, the way they all praise God, they give permission to one another. There's a camaraderie on high, and that's the camaraderie that has to exist over here. This year I thought of something else. We gave 5 shiurim on Sefer Yonah, and it occurred to me that if to all the reasons that are given why Yonah is read on Yom Kippur, it may be in the final analysis that there's one that's overlooked. What's the whole story about? The whole story is about Yonah, who flees from before God. Why does he flee from before God? Because he does not want to be the one through whom which the Jewish people will suffer. He's not going to be used by God to bring the message to Nineveh, Odar Boim Yom, in another 40 days Nineveh is destroyed. They're going to do tshuva, and then God is going to turn around to the Jewish people and say, take a look at this. I send this unknown prophet to Nineveh. He says 5 words to them, Od Arboim Yom V'Nineveh Nebacha, another 40 days, and Nineveh is destroyed, and they all do tshuva. And I've been sending prophets to you constantly. The Gemara we quoted said that Yonah went in order to die in the sea. He'd rather die than be the instrument of causing harm to a fellow Jew. Do you know what Yonah is? Yonah is the great symbol of Aras Yisrael. Is it possible that that's why we read Yonah as the day begins to ebb away? Is it possible that the message of Yom Kippur is you're like angels now? All the Nagashkeit that involves you day in and day out, and all of the unnecessary harm and hurt that man may cause the fellow man. You have to understand that Yonah is the great symbol of Ahaz Yisrael. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. That's what it's all about. And we gave the classic example of this year. Roy Klein, Hashem Yimkom Damo. A soldier who sees a grenade coming toward his troops, who cries out Shema Yisrael and throws himself on the grenade and is killed. That classic Ahaz Yisrael. Yonah didn't die, Yonah went to die. That may be the ultimate message of Yom Kippur. You know what Yom Kippur is? The Yohavta L'Reachot Kamocha. It represents the second half of the Aseret HaDibrot, of the Ten Commandments. And that's what we have to do tshuva with. One mitzvah, but there are 2 parts to that mitzvah. Tshuva requires tshuva b'Yonah HaMakom, and it If a point is Tshuva Bein Adam L'Chaveno, one is Rosh Hashanah and the other is Yom Kippur. So we've done three psukim, Tamim Tiyar Hashem Alkecha, Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Tamid, V'Yohafto L'Reyacho Kamocha. Now we come to Bechol D'Rochecho D'Eilu. Bechol D'Rochecho D'Eilu. Pasuk, in all of your ways, know God. Oh, there's most probably more to be said about this than what has been said about the other psukim. But let's take it there. Doresh Bar Kapora at the top of the page. Bar Kapora said, "You say, oh, Parsha Katana. What little parsha is there in Torah? Shekol Gufei Torah Tuluyin Bo. All of it." All of Torah, all of the body of Torah, all of the body of Torah depends on that one little parasha, and all of Torah depends on it. Bechol d'rochecho d'ayim, in all of your ways know Him, v'hu yashir orchotecha, and He will straighten your paths. We have to understand, what does this bechol d'rochecho d'ayim, what does it mean? This is that upon which all of Torah stands. Or you see that Bar Kapora, what Bar Kapora is saying is absolutely true. Two lines later, the Chol Maaseh Yil Shem Shemayim L'Shem Torah Shadana Bechol Rochecho Do'eilu V'hu Yashir Orchotecha. If we want to come to our understanding of Bechol Rochecho Do'eilu, what that pasuk is saying is that whatever you do should be for the sake of heaven. And the next quote is a quote taken directly from the Rambam. Nimso, the Rambam says, Hamahalach b'derek zo kol yomav, a person who goes in this path all his life, that whatever he does, he has in mind, he's doing it l'shem shamayim. And he explains, Obeid of Hashem tamid, this person will constantly be worshiping God. I like that word tamid. Every time the word tamid comes up, I like it. Anybody who's going to do that is serving God constantly. Afil b'shor sheno seva notenim, even while a person is doing business, afil b'shor sheboil, and even during intimate relationships. Mitnei shemachshavto b'kol, because his thought in all of this is kedei shiyimtzo tzrachav, he should find that which is necessary, what he needs to live. Arshia gufo sholem, his body should be complete. La'avodet Hashem, to serve God. Va'afil b'shor shehu yoshe, you understand? You can be fulfilling a mitzvah even when you're sleeping. You can turn sleep into a great mitzvah. In yoshe l'dat, if he sleeps with the intent, kedei shetamu al dato olav, then he should. Dasuhu p'chiyin abyssal. Calm down. V'yonu ar gufo, and his body is going to rest. Kadesh lo yechales, he shouldn't get sick. V'lo yuchal la'avod al Hashem v'chalet. Man can't serve God properly when he's sick. Nitzei tzedev, what emerges is sheina shelo avod al makom. His sleep is serving God. Sleep. Imagine that. A third of our lives we spend sleeping. You can turn a third of your life, without doing anything. Out of it, by not doing anything, you turn it into service of God. Mitzvah Shema Shel Avod Al Hakom Baruch Hu V'Alin Zeh Tzivu Chachamim V'Amru. And it's about this that our Rabbi said, V'Chol Maaseh Yiyu L'Shem Shamayim. All of your deeds should be for the sake of heaven. V'Hu Shalom Hashlomo V'Chachmasam. And that's what Shlomo said with his wisdom. Behold, the Rochecho Da'ehu, in all of your ways know Him, v'hu yashir orchotecha, and He will straighten your paths. Now we're beginning to understand why all of Torah depends on it. Because it's a matter of, behold, the Rochecho Da'ehu can turn all of life into one great symphony of serving God. But I said that behold, the Rochecho Da'ehu, that behold, the Rochecho Da'ehu, is related to we're up to Sukkos. In a certain sense, You may have asked me earlier, listen, there are two young Tovim, Pesach and Sukkot, both of them talk of the Exodus. In a sense, both of them are Zechel Yitzhak Mitzrayim. But there's a big difference between the two. Everything that surrounds Pesach is the supernatural, beyond nature. Nature is dramatically changed in that whole process. There's a world in collision. Everything is different. Down, Tzadeya, Kinim, Orov, Devesh, Kin, Borod, Arbe, Chosha, Makas, Bechoros, Kriyas, Yamsuf. This is God intervening into nature and into history to dramatically change what's the norm, what's the natural thing on the face of this earth in order to bring the Jewish people out of Egypt. Compare that to Sukkot. Everything about Sukkot is nature. Nature. Lulav, Esvig, Hadas, Adav. Forming them. And by the way, they have to be hodah, they have to be beautiful. They have to be at the height of their brilliance, their shine. Perfect. Ashena Esvig, Shena Esvig. Beautiful Hadas, Lulav. Beautiful. When it is taken to fulfill the mitzvah, they have to be held in the way in which they grow. For example, one of the halachas in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Gemara that talks about it. How do you make the bracha before fulfilling the mitzvah? You're always supposed to make a bracha on a mitzvah before you fulfill the mitzvah. The moment you take lulav and esrog in your hand, you have already fulfilled the mitzvah. You pick it up, you fulfilled it. So the Gemara says that one of the ways, and this is the Shulchan Aruch says, that what you do is you take the lulav and everything, you know, standing as they grow, but you turn the esrog upside down. You pit them down. And then you make the bracha, and as soon as you finish the bracha, you turn it over, and then you fulfill the mitzvah. So you said the bracha prior to the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is not only that they have to be in the height of their beauty, without blemish, but it has to be in the way in which it grows. This is nature. The sukkah, what can you use as schach for the sukkah? Only that which grows from the ground. Only that which grows from the ground. What's central to all sukkahs? Nisuch hamayim, the fetching of water, simchas beis ha'ohava. The world has judged how much rain is going to come down. All of Sukkot in such contrast to Pesach. Pesach is all miraculous, and Sukkot is all natural. What's the significance of these two young Tovim? I'm borrowing here from the thought of Rav Kook in a letter that he wrote in 1917. He was in England at the time, and he wrote a letter to his son, Svi Yehuda Kook, and he sent the letter, he wrote the letter, Erev Sukkot. I better read the letter over again. I don't think he says, how are you, how's the family, I'm okay, regards. No, he talks about the beauty of Sukkot, a celebration of nature. Says you can feel already, you can feel autumn is in the air, you can smell it, it's coming, you know. A little bit of a cool breeze, it's not the same as it always was. He must have been thinking about her. It's a story, I don't know what he saw in London. You were able to sense that the seasons are changing. And he explains to his son the following. Pesach is a celebration of the supernatural. Now, here is already, I'm going to be using my own words over here. In a sense, Pesach is all heaven. And Shavuos, what happens is, that the heavens, God comes down from the heaven to the top of the mountain. And a relationship for all time, an eternal relationship, develops between God and the Jewish people. Shamayim and Oretz, heaven and earth, meet. When Sukkot comes, the whole message of Sukkot is that we have to take earth, nature, endow it with the sanctity of Torah, and in that way, you know what we're doing? We're turning earth into heaven itself. The greatness of Halacha and Torah is that we can sanctify and hallow every part of human activity. So if Pesach is all heaven, Shavuos is heaven meeting earth, I see Sukkot as earth being endowed with the grace and the beauty of Shammai. When I was overcome with this thought, I just wrote, Pesach is Pele, beyond rational, otherworldly, Shavuos, heaven and earth meet. Sukkot is the great synthesis of heaven and earth, the physical and the spiritual, the material and the hallowed are joined. And we, in fact, the purpose of Sukkot is to hallow the material, to sanctify the physical, and endow earth with the grace of heaven. And you know what it means? And this is the great accomplishment of Yahdut. There's no contradiction between heaven and earth. There is no clash. There is no discord. There is no disharmony. But heaven and earth together. The Shulchan Aruch says, comes from the Gemara, Anshei Yerushalayim, the people of Yerushalayim, wherever they went on Sukkot, Lulav ve'esvig imo, the lulav and esvig. They went out into the street, the lulav and esvig. They went into the sukkah, lulav and esvig. They went to shul, lulav and esvig. They went to the shuk, lulav and esvig. The idea is sanctifying that physical, that natural, and turning it into something holy and endowed with sanctity. Here we have a paragraph which is really a reconstruction of the words of Rav Kook. Chag HaSukkot Mitzvotav Kosher Et Am Yisrael LaTeva. The Yom Tov of Sukkot and all its mitzvahs bind the Jewish people to nature. U'Ma'asher Kiddush HaTeva, and it makes possible sanctifying nature, V'Hachayim, and life, sanctifying them. How? Lo'or Arachim Elokim, in the light of divine values, that are higher than nature. This is what he writes to his son. The process that began with Pesach intensified with Shavuos now comes to its culmination with Sukkot. We went from heaven to heaven and earth to an earth that becomes heavenly. Shematchil b'Pesach b'tziyun nisei ha'yitziyah mi'mitzrayim begins with Pesach, and it talks about the miracles of the Exodus from Egypt that were all made out l'teva, beyond nature. Ha'gula v'adbar ha'minim l'kuchim min ha'tzomeach ha'tiv'i u'miyatzgim et tzugav ha'shonim. The lulav and the four species are taken from that which grows naturally, and they are representative of all the forms of the natural world. And mitzvah netilatam, the mitzvah of taking them is better gedilatam, the way they're supposed to be held in the way in which they grow. Al pichuke ha'teva shel atzmicha, all in consonance with the laws of nature and growth. You're supposed to take the four species when they are at the beauty of their growth. And at the very peak of their natural life and their freshness. Mitzvot nisuch hamayim mishivatam, the pouring of the water and the fetching of the water, That's also bound with the laws of nature. Water is the very fundamental necessity for a world to exist. The mitzvah of living, sitting in the sukkah, gam hinit kayemet b'tzeil schach, in the shadow of schach, shehuch shal mitzvah, so it's kosher only if it's gidulo min ha'aretz, if it grows from the earth. Gam amereim shal chag ha'sukkos, if you take into consideration the time of year of sukkahs, all bound into nature, it's the time of the ingathering, it's the time of the harvest. In Bo'astav, with the coming of the fall, v'achorev shel achro, and the winter afterwards, machtivim chukei teva u'mezek havir et orach ha'chayim shel ha'adam. Nature and the weather dictate man's life. So these mitzvahs, he goes on to say, therefore, are all to take nature, and through nature, to create a spiritual personality. So there's no clash between nature and the supernatural, between Shomayim and Oretz. The greatness of Torah is Torah takes Oretz and endows it with the beauty of Shomayim. Nothing in all of Torah flies in the face of man's nature. The same God who created man and knows his strengths and his weaknesses is the one who gave Torah to the Jewish people. There are all sorts of other religions that have laws that are in stark contradiction to the nature of man. Not so in Torah. Alright, so we've just now done the... I'd say that we have scratched the surface of Bechol D'Rochecho D'Eden V'Hu Yashir Orchotecha. And we're up to the last one. He come the Knappel of Tefer Yisrael. Prepare yourself as you come before your God, O Israel. I see in the Pasuk, Kikon Lekrat Elokecho Yisrael, that it really is a description of Hoshana Rabbah and the Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah that comes after it. I have a Pasuk for you, down there, Lachin. Therefore, so I will do to you, Israel, Ekev, Kizot, I will do this to you. Hikom, prepare yourself, Likrat Elokecha Yisrael. What's interesting is the pasuk, few psukim earlier, there's a whole description that begins with Im Yitoka Shofar Boir, for Om Lo Yecheradu. Will a shofar be blown in the city and the nation will not tremble? And this whole description of tshuva, that any talk a shofar be here already is Rosh Hashanah, and we're making our way all the way to Hikon Lekrat Elokecho Yisrael. You have the Targum Yonatan over there. V'chein ma'abid lach Yisrael. What shall I do to you, Israel? Chalaf. You didn't do tshuva. The last time, the end is of Shana Rabba, what am I going to do with you? And you didn't do tshuva. We went through the whole process from in the Taka Shofo by ear. Dor Evid Loch. You know what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do to you. It kashet le kabola upanogaitza del kochisberg. Prepare yourself before your God Israel, Targum Yonatan ben Ziel says. You know what I'm going to do? Prepare yourself to start being taught Torah by your God. Simchas Torah. Su shorim roshetem. V'yohu melech hakovol. Chevra, we're going to start all over again. You didn't do it right this time. But you're going to do it right the next time. He come the crowd of the Kechel Yisrael is never lose hope. The Revelation is going to start on Simchas Torah. You didn't do it last year, you didn't do it this year. We're going to teach you Torah. By the time the next Elul is going to come around, you know what you're going to know? You're going to know that you begin with Tomim Tia Im Hashem Lekecha. And you're going to go through the process of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tomim. You're going to come to a Yom Kippur over your Haftar or your Kamocha. You're going to be overwhelmed by the beauty and the power of a Sukkot that's behold Rachecha Da'eu in a sense, carrying that Lul and Esri with you wherever you go. And that way you'll be able to reach not a Simchas Torah, he called the Krakow Lekech Yismael, but a Hoshana Rabbah, where you prepare yourself before your God Israel. In a sense, it's during the 7 days of Sukkot you had Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David, and by Simchas Torah you know who you have the Rabbi Yisrael himself. I think that Rav Zisha Me'Anatoli would not be upset with what I did to his acronym of Tshuva. I hope so anyway. That's it.